Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner, coming to you as usual, live and living color here on WVFB, FM 101.5, Kicks Country. And we really appreciate the fact that we're able to do this each Thursday morning. And, of course, we're live here at 9 a.m. in the morning. And then this afternoon, we have a little bit of a change in the rebroadcast time. I think the Tompkinsville folks are playing in the Class A state tournament today, and so we'll be on from 4:30 to 5:30 this afternoon. I'll remind everyone of this again, but hopefully if I keep up my notes here in the show. And also today, of course, we want to start off by thanking the folks that make this show possible here each week at 9 o'clock in the morning. That is through the auspices of the Clay County Chamber, the three-star program, and, of course, all of the great folks that buy advertising time here to make this possible. I know we have quite a few that do that, and if you'd like to be one of our sponsors, you can call over there. There's a couple of numbers you can use. I know there's one that you can use that'll get you I think maybe they all go into the same head end somewhere or another, but the 270-487-0969 will get you to a recorder where you can find out information and find out who to call to get your ad placed on the radio station here. And I know we have a couple of new businesses, and we've got to get out and let them know about you. So we really, really appreciate those folks that make this possible for us. Later on in the show, we'll be doing our birthday and anniversary, where we give away a birthday prize here each Thursday morning, compliments of WVFB. So, and we'll take care of that. We've got a couple of guests on their way in here in a minute. The county mayor and the director of the chamber will be coming in just a few minutes, and we've got quite a few things to talk about. And of course, last week we cut it off a little bit short. It started snowing about halfway through our show, and our veterans representative, Mr. Brad Heifacker, he lives down in Jackson County. He lives kind of out in the real rural part of Jackson County, over toward Putnam County, and he made it home okay. But when we saw the blizzard start, we decided this time maybe that he headed back down to Jackson County. But we really appreciate him being here with us the other day, and I know he is here in Salina each Monday and Tuesday down at the UCHRA building. And he said, you know, the best thing to do is come by there and just knock on the door and come in, and he's there. And he's there to serve our well-deserving veterans here in Clay County, to answer any type of questions you have about anything associated with any type of benefits you may have or any kind of problems you're having. So, you know, that it's great. I know we had Mr. Cole for a while, and of course, Mr. Cole had some health problems, and the program was kind of slowed down a little bit, but Mr. Heifacker now has taken over. A young man that recently retired from the Navy, so hopefully he'll be with us quite a few years, and we'll be able to provide this service once again on a very timely basis for our veterans. And with that, I think we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins with you.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm waiting on my guests to get here, but before they do, this is a great time to look at some of the things that happened on this day. I know I had a little bird in my ear that gave me a couple of little things here about, you know, that this is the day in 1968 that Johnny Cash performed at Folsom Prison. Of course, I know he had the reputation of being spending lots of time in jail and all this kind of stuff, but I think actually he may have spent one night in jail back years ago. Now, he really wasn't the biggest outlaw that sometimes that he was made out to be. We had our first radio broadcast in 1910, and then I kind of like this one. This is the day that Ernest Alexander introduced the TV. Of course, these are back in the days of vacuum tubes, something we don't have anymore. Everything now is solid state with our little condensers and very little bitty things anymore, not back in the days when we had tubes and things. I don't know, look like the mayor went over to the fire to warm up or to adjust it when he came in. We've got our gas heaters, they're going on low, and they kind of go off and on when they want to, but it makes it kind of cozy in here when we get the gas going. But both of them just came in at the same time. This may be a conspiracy. I'm not sure. When you get two folks come in the door together, you think maybe they've gotten together and discussed things before they made it in here. But good morning, Dr. Young.
We're plotting against the curator of the historic Clay County Courthouse.
Well, let me go see if I can find him. good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm here. Able to sit up and take nourishment. Who would you say that all the time? Well, one of our radio people used to say that they're able. I'd been Tennessee Ernie Ford that said that. You remember the old pea picker? Do you all remember him?
Absolutely. Yes.
I thought you were nearly old enough to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
one of the great radio stars. I know we were talking offline there just a minute ago about, you know, the music thing back when I was young, when I was in high school, back and before that time, you know, back before they became world famous, like the Carter family. Can remember, golly, I guess I'm probably less than 10 years old, when they actually did a show out at Moss Elementary, in the auditorium at Moss Elementary School. That's one of the memories you have back there. Of course, you know, later on when they kind of teamed up with Johnny Cash, they, you know, became more famous. That's kind of like someone said, Dumas Walker said after the Headhunters recorded the song, "Let's All Go Down to Dumas Walker." Somebody asked him what it felt like when that song made him famous. And he said, "Well, I've always been famous. Everybody just didn't know it."
Took that to make people realize that, didn't it?
Yeah.
I can remember, Thomas, years ago when I was a little feller, and Mom and Daddy took us to Pickett County. The Wilburn brothers, you remember them?
Oh, absolutely.
They put a show on up there. Teddy and Doyle, I believe, was their name.
Yeah.
And that's you mentioning that made me have a flashback.
Well, I guess I throw this out to Dr. Young. I'm sure he remembers this. He was in. I don't know. He may have been still in junior high, or maybe a freshman in high school, when we dedicated the new high school out here at Salina in the auditorium, that the Flat and Scruggs came in and put on a concert. I don't know where that, did you even go to that, Dr. Young?
No, I was going to school in Nashville when
So we'd moved you out of the county.
Right.
Then. But that,
I came back then as a freshman. That already happened.
Yeah, they opened up the auditorium here. Those were, those are the days where they traveled around in a big old long Buick hearse or something. They didn't have them big fancy buses they've got now with 14 truckloads of equipment behind them.
Had their black three-piece suits on, didn't they?
Yeah, and they showed up with one instrument each. Mm-hmm. And now you go look at one, and they've all got at least 12 or 14 guitars sitting behind them, and 8 or 10 different keyboards and all this kind of thing. Everything's gotten fancy. You notice we didn't say it's gotten better, but I guess you have to appeal to more people. But, we could sit here and reminisce forever, I guess, but I don't know. We might eventually bore someone. I don't know where we could really do that or not. Like I said, we've got these folks here with us, and I think we have another guest going to be coming in hopefully here in a few minutes that maybe on the way from Nashville coming up, and that is Miss Tara Vermuth, who is with the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, not conversation. And she's going to come by and talk to us a little bit. But so I guess we better kind of start with, which one of you guys will start and do a little quick rundown first?
I'll defer to the mayor.
Okay, mayor.
I thought he was going to say age before beauty, but I was going to get him on that and everything. But, well, good morning, and thank you, Thomas, for the opportunity again to come up and to be with you and to talk to the citizens out there, to bring them and to keep them up to date on the things that are going on in our county. Of course, I'm sure that everybody is aware that we suffered the loss of one of our elected officials last week. As we all know him as T. Kittle, Billy Smith, and we certainly want to continue to extend our sympathy out to the family, and our prayers continues to go out to them. And I want to bring everybody up to date a little bit about, because we've had folks that have called and asked, you know, what the procedures is and stuff when it comes to filling a vacancy, when a vacancy occurs in some of the offices and in county government and everything. So I know the county commission Monday night we met, and the meeting was a week pushed out because of the holiday. And we met Monday night for our regular commission meeting, and the first item that we did, the action that we did, was to recognize the clerk had to inform the commissioners and recognize that there was a vacancy that has been occurred, and that goes on to the minutes that the commissioners are made aware of that. The next action that we took was for them to determine it's their duty to fill that vacancy, and they have up to, according to the statute, they have up to 120 days to do that, but they wanted to go ahead and I feel the same way, to try to, you know, get that filled as soon as possible. So there's procedures you have to go through. It has to be publicized in the paper, and it has to be put in the paper of general circulation 7 days prior to the meeting of them of taking action to fill that vacancy. So they voted the other night to do that on January the 31st. There'll be a special call meeting before the planning. This is be a special call meeting, and the only business that can be conducted is the filling of that vacancy at 6:30 at the, down here at the complex where we meet at the courtroom and everything. So that'll be January 31st.
Okay, now, Dad, we know on that 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 office requires a big training session, doesn't it, to move in there? Of course, I know we've got the clerks and things that are still there.
Yeah.
That can... That can, you know, take care of business affairs while, you know, the post is vacant.
Yeah, Angie Eads is the deputy clerk. That she's been there with Tate Kittle for many, many years. And so she is down there now as interim
acting. Yeah.
And so she has full authority over that office at this time. And so she's doing an outstanding job, and we certainly want to commend her for her services and everything. So she'll continue to do that until the vacancy is filled, and then whoever is put in that position will take over. And then, of course, absolutely, there is a lot of training sessions that goes on throughout the year and stuff for all, if not all, county elected official offices and stuff. CTAS sets up a lot of trainings for, you know, like your property assessor, your registered deeds, all your clerks, even I think the trustees and all them has different, you know,
right,
seminars that they go
through. Each one of their jobs is very significantly different, and do require, you know, training. I know the time that I'd had T. Kittle on the radio this year, he was on, you know, talking about having those training sessions with where they'd come up with some new regulations, some new things that he had to learn about.
He did, and there he is, and there's like appraisals, and they're going through. We're going through the county appraisal period, and then you have your boards that he has to set up, or he did set up. If you want to appeal,
yeah.
And so there's a training for that. Even each one of those members of that board that sits on that board has to go through a training session for the appellate of if you don't like, you know, what they've appraised your property at or whatever, you have opportunity to come before that board and plead your case and everything.
Because, you know, I know that process, you know, over the years has become a thing where our local representative here really doesn't do the technical part of determining value of property. That's done by outside agencies. And then, of course, his job is to notify and enforce, isn't it?
Yeah, the Tennessee Comptroller's Office is set up of a lot of different, you know, agencies, I guess what you might say, or different departments. And the Department of Property Assessors is one of those. And so they have someone from the state that comes up and helps do the assessors, or helps the assessor do the appraisals and stuff. And then, of course, during the year, you know, an OT would constantly be going out, you know, and looking at different properties and stuff when, you know, buildings are built and this, that, and the other and everything. He'd go out there and get that, you know, get it put on the tax roll, in which it takes, whenever they do that, it don't automatically just go on the tax roll like that. It takes like a year or so to get on all that and everything. But yeah, we certainly are going. He's certainly going to be missed because he's down there in the complex. All the offices down there are pretty much, you know, like a group that have really worked good together and everything. And again, like I said, you know, our continued prayers and our sympathy goes out to the family and everything. So.
Well, you know, I guess over the years he had reached the status here in Clay County as one of our Clay County characters. And it's one of those things, you know, you just don't replace overnight. And I know he will be greatly missed by the entire community. And we, of course, our prayers and thoughts go to the family, but we do realize that, you know, county business must go on.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, we just want to encourage everybody out there to continue to keep them in their prayers. And I want to, you know, inform everybody that, you know, that you'll be seeing it come out in the paper this next week, not this week, but the paper's done come out this week, but next week it'll be in the paper about the requirements as far as, you know, and the time that we're going to be doing that. And anybody that, you know, that desires to be a candidate, they have the opportunity to do that and everything. So they can submit those their names to my office at the mayor's office, or they can submit a name to each county commissioner if they want to. They can do that, or the night of the meeting, prior to the time of the meeting, it'll be asked if there's anyone in the audience that, you know, desires to be a candidate for that position. And so we're trying to go by the statute and everything.
Right.
With the help of CTAS and our county attorney and everything, and we think we've got this all down right. But anyway, we've had, seems like here in the last little bit, we've had to do a lot of these. The school board members that we've had, the commission has had to do that, and different things like that and everything. So, Lord willing, we'll be doing that on January 31st.
Okay. We'll take a little short break. We'll come back and continue. I think you've maybe got a couple more points you want to bring up, so we'll be right back.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins with you.
Welcome back, everyone. We'll get to jump right back, Mayor, if you would.
We were talking about, you know, the special call meeting that the County Commission will have on January 31st, 6:30, to fill the vacancy of the property assessor's office. And immediately following that, that's the only business they can act on during a special call meeting, whatever, you know, that they has been determined for them to act on. And then once that's taken care of, then we'll adjourn that meeting, and then we'll go right into our planning meeting, which we have our planning on the last Monday night of each month, and then our county commission meeting is the first Monday night of each month and everything, if we don't have to move it for some reason or another. We did have, as I said, Thomas, we met Monday night in regular sessions for the county commission meeting night, and we had nine resolutions that was on the agenda for the commissioners to look at. And the majority of those were amendments that to moving some money around and everything and putting it into the category. And one of the ones that we have just about every month is one of yours.
Well,
and that's where that you doing an outstanding job of getting contributions and everything to the jailhouse or the courthouse and jail. That's where it goes into for the historical window project is what we call it and everything. So I think right now you've done real well in getting quite a bit built up. So when we apply for that grant and everything, we'll be able to get a pretty good sum. I think that your next project on that is to tackle the old big window out here front, ain't it?
Yes, it is. You know, and based on kind of what we know about the prices from last year, that one window is more than likely going to cost us around $10,000 to get it restored. And I know that's a big chunk of change, but that's probably the most important window in here. And right now, it is probably maybe the worst damaged window of itself. I know we had quite a bit of damage in the one that we did because we were afraid that the entire window, some of those entire windows were going to fall out. But up there in that one, we've got, you know, where some of the panes, the putties come loose after 150 years.
Right, and, yeah.
But we're looking forward to getting started on this next phase on that.
Thomas, you might mention the glass in those panes. You know something about the history on those. It's very important to save that glass.
Yes, and of course they were our hand-formed glass. And I know this restoration group that we worked with last year, they actually can access and get, so there are folks that are still making that glass by hand. And those window panes that, you know, that we've lost a couple up there. Most of them, they kind of dropped to the inside of the courthouse, but we had one this fall that decided it wanted to bail out and go get out of the courthouse. And it came to a sudden end when it hit the concrete down there. But we can keep those as they are.
One of the, like I said, you know, we had, I believe it was 9 resolutions, and the majority of those were some budget amendments and everything, but one of the resolutions that I know that the commissioners had been working on for the last few months, so, and I know that there was a committee set up, and I know that Commissioner Coons had, I think he was the chair over that committee, is looking at, you know, the adjustment of the employees' longevity pay. And the commissioners, they passed that back in, I believe it was in November, and we did the amendment for that Monday night to move those funds around in order to get those the employees and everything their much needed longevity pay and everything, and to get them up there and to do a pay scale and an adjustment of some of the pay and stuff. So I certainly want to commend the commissioners for that and everything, because employees, without them, without our employees and everything, we couldn't do nothing. That's right. And I thank the commissioners for doing that and everything and taking that in consideration. And I know they've been working on that for some time, and I appreciate their efforts of doing that and everything. So We, like I said, you know, we had different grants, and I think Dr. Young had a grant, and he may want to talk about that a little bit and everything. I think he had one out there at the chamber. He has different grants, different all the time, and I know our senior citizen director, we call her Squeaky Sandra, but she'd worked on one. Doc, I think you may have helped her on this too. I think it's a $5,000 grant that they had to submit a lot of different letters from different dignitaries, from the senators down to the representatives in the Congress and everything, to get this done.
And so it took an act of Congress to get
it
this.
It certainly did, and she was tickled to death because she got it. She come in the office Monday, and she said, "Here, we got it. And it was $5,000. That she's going to be able to do a lot of different things as far as her arts and crafts and stuff that she does with the seniors down there, and to get the supplies and stuff. So I want to thank her for the effort that she put forth in that, and always Dr. Young has always been instrumental in helping with these grants and stuff, and we appreciate him very much. And also that she started something this past week, and we've had a lot of folks that are out due to, sadly due to the COVID and the flu and the head colds and everything. It seems like it's going around pretty high right now. But they wanted to start up, and they did. They had a group that come down there, and every Tuesday, I think around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a group of them gets together, and they bring their instruments, and they sit over there in the corner, and they play music.
Right.
And they've been doing that. They started that Tuesday, and I got back down there about the time they was just about ready to wrap up, but they I didn't get a chance to set in with them, but I told them, Lord willing, I was going to, I would try my best to do that with them. And so encourage all those that are out there that if you're if you got a guitar and you want to set in with them, they welcome you to do that. And if you just want to come out and listen to them, they were doing some gospel songs and some country and some bluegrass and stuff. So I know all of us around here, you know, love music, things like. And so if you have an opportunity, come down. And they do that on Tuesday afternoon, because I think she said that was one of the days that they didn't have a lot. You know, they have their bingo, I think, on Mondays and Thursdays. And that was one of the days, you know, that they, after lunch and everything, they didn't have a whole lot that, you know, that they were doing. And so that gave them another activity to do, to come and be with them. And through that grant, enabled her to be able to do some of those things. So we appreciate the effort.
She has another program down there that we were able to get a grant through Twin Lakes last year. And if we have senior citizens out there, they would like to learn to be able to get them a tablet or one of these fancy cell phones and or even a computer and get online, they could we'll do the training down there to teach you to do Facebook and some of those social media things. Now that everybody's locked up and because of COVID and can't get around, we first looked out at the nursing home and all those folks that are kind of locked in out there. And if they knew how to do the social media, it sure would be a great help to them.
Okay. Looks like we just had another guest come, but we're going to take a little short break. But I want to remind everyone, if you really want to make a lot of friends down at the Senior Citizen Center, kind of ease down there when the bingo's going on and stand over in the corner and let them call off about two numbers and squall out, bingo! You talk about some elderly folks that will come after you in a hurry.
I don't think they're going to make their friends.
They'll shoot you.
Or if when they're playing cover the board and after about six numbers, you holler bingo. You make a lot of friends down there with those folks that way. But also, if I were on that, we could shout out to the pitch players down there.
Yes.
I think Ronald Bailey actually won a game the other day.
Surely not.
Yes. But with that, we're going to take a little short break, come back, and I'm going to let Dr. Young introduce a guest that just, I don't know if she's just passing through town, decided to come by and join us or whatever, but we will do that just in a minute after I read the birthdays off here. Our birthdays today that celebrated this past week. Got Miss Margie Boone, celebrated the birthday. Erica Melton Adams. Coach Joe Sims, celebrated the birthday. Michael Miller, celebrated the birthday. This young lady doesn't live in Salina, but her folks all do. Miss Kim, I'd like to wish her a happy birthday. And over at the health center, Betty Sparks Watson. If you ever need any help over there, Betty is the one you get a hold of to take care of things over there. I don't know whether everybody knows it or not, but I think she's really in charge over there. But like that, we'll be back just in a few minutes. And now, wait a minute. If you want your name on the list, 931-243-5574, and we've got an excellent birthday prize over there that you pick up at the chamber. Compliments of WVFB-FM. So make sure that you get all this taken care of. We'll be back just in a minute.
What time?
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Trican Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins with you.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. All right, chit chat all stops. We're officially on again now. All right, Dr. Young, well, like I said, we have a special guest that was coming up today for something else, and I think you gave her a real quick invite if she wanted to come down and talk to the folks here in Clay County a little bit. If you will introduce her.
We knew that she was coming today, and I gave her a call, and she hopefully didn't get any tickets between here and Cookeville, and she got here in a hurry. And I'll introduce her in just a second. I wanted to mention a couple of things that we've got going on here. Our jobs program at the chamber is still going on. I got an email yesterday and another one today from employers who have actually employed some people out of that program. So if you're unemployed and looking for a job, stop by the chamber and fill out a one-page application, and then we'll take that application and scan it and send it out to about 100 employers. And hopefully the job that they have available will match your experiences and training, and they'll get in contact with you to come in then for an interview. The other announcement I had was this is membership month at the chamber. We'll be mailing out renewal notices for those that are due. Everybody's not due yet because they didn't join in the first quarter. So everybody that was a member in the first quarter will be getting a renewal invoice, and everybody will get the new plaques and the benefits and all of that. And if you're not a member of the chamber and would like to become a member of the chamber, just come by and we'll get you signed up. Or we'll email you information so you can do it all online. And now, we're gonna turn to Tara Bogomuth. I've known Tara now for several years, and I never get her last name right. But and I lost. And so from this point on, we're just going to say Tara.
Tara with TDEC. That's how I introduce myself.
Tara with TDEC.
Yep.
There you go. And TDEC, once again, is the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation.
Okay, now just Tara, what is that?
So what is TDEC?
Who are you and what is that?
Sure. So TDEC is our kind of chief quality of life agency, is the way we like to think about it. Our mission is to enhance quality of life for all citizens of Tennessee through as clean and safe environment. So we have a lot of those kind of air pollution, land pollution, water pollution type agencies. And then on the other side of the house, we have all of our conservation entities. So our 56 state parks and our 84 state natural areas, our Division of Archaeology, even the Historical Commission does their administration through TDEC. So we think of ourselves as what helps bring and retain new citizens to Tennessee and ensuring that they have a great place to live, work, and play.
Very good. I know, being of my age and Dr. Young's age, back when we were in elementary school, the conservation programs was a big deal then, Dr. Young. I know the state of Tennessee, they published all kinds of books and pamphlets and things for students, elementary age students, that we studied. That we had coloring books. We had all those things. You know, that's been what now, about 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah,
that it was important. It was important then.
I remember one thing that was big back then was erosion.
Okay.
We had some men of the hillsides that had just been eroded away, and they were trying to teach us to conserve our land a little bit better and take care of that. I know one area right near here in the city limits of Salina that was, when I was a kid, we'd get in there and play. It was just a play and deep washes.
Behind Scott's Best Way all up through there.
That's where it was.
And guess what we did? Every student in Salina High School got a little shovel to plant a tree.
Aww.
And for what we do, about a month, I guess, with Mr. Fox, we tramped all over those hillsides and planted little pine trees.
It sounds like the work of the Natural Resource Conservation Service, which is kind of an agricultural-type program, but they are really, they work with farmers to retain their soils on their sites when they do their plowing, like no-plow-type situations, and they'll pay farmers to plant trees, you know, so that kind of stuff. But our terms of conservation, a lot of times we think about recreation in that way. So it's taking those state lands that are set aside for their scenic beauty or their recreation potential, right? Fishing, hunting, camping, hiking, wildlife watching, right? Those are the kind of conservation areas that we manage and work to expand and protect.
Okay, and I do know you had in there that the Historical Commission is kind of under your umbrella also. So before you leave to that, you get to look at an old window, and you'll get to look at what the grant did this year for.
Oh, good.
The Historical
Commission.
So
did you get a Historical Commission grant?
Yes.
Awesome.
We're getting ready to apply for next year's.
That's very good.
And we have instituted a program here called Adopt a Window. So we have folks that are actually adopting these windows to get a plate put on there in memoriam of a family member or whatever. So... We're making headway.
It's a novel idea. It's a good one.
Okay. Let's get back serious and tell us some of the things we got going on.
Okay. Well, today to meet with Mr. Dennis, starts with W, Wilbert?
Wilbert,
yes.
He's
with
got a T on the end of his name.
Wilbert, yeah. with the, I think it's called the Dale Hollow Marina at Cedar Hill. Yes. So he's going to host a meeting for us next week of the governor's Rural Outdoor Tourism Task Force. And so this is a new initiative that TDEC is spearheading, but all of the kind of state agencies that manage our state lands, so TWRA with their wildlife management areas, Department of Ag, Forestry Lands, all of those folks are going to come together with ECD and Tourist Development, of course, to work with our distressed communities in Tennessee, all of which are rural, to kind of build that outdoor recreation potential of those lands and make sure we're capturing those tourism dollars and boosting that to help those local economies. So that's the meeting we're going to have at Mr. Dennis's place next week, and Dr. Young in the chamber and Mayor Reagan and Mayor Collins have been helping me get the word out in the community for those folks who are interested in tourism, tourism-based business, and can really help us develop a strategic plan to leverage those state lands and build the tourism base here in Clay County.
Well, you know, along those lines, and traffic here, I noticed something yesterday. I don't know whether anyone else did or not, but just I drove through town a few times yesterday, and I noticed something. It really wasn't unusual to me because I'd suspected this in the past, but we had lots of cars coming through here on Monday that had Alabama and Georgia license plates on them.
Wow.
So guess what? They were coming from Lucas Oil Field in Indianapolis, and they were not going on to Nashville. They were getting off of 65 up at K City and coming down to and going through Salina on their way over to 111 to get back to Alabama and Georgia.
How neat is that?
Which is a major shift in traffic. But they've decided, you know, it's easier to come through and enjoy the beauty of the countryside here than it is to drive down through Nashville and sit and look at cars for about 3 hours trying to get through Nashville. So, I mean, I noticed that, and I think that's something that's really going to, we've got, like we said before, we've got them coming through here. Now we've got to find a way to get them to stop other than put nail planks out or something. We've got to give them that reason. And this looks like this is something that's going to, you know, tie in with that also.
Hopefully, yeah, enticing them to stay the night, because that's the kind of tourist that you want, is the overnight tourist that'll spend lots of money in your community. So.
And I did see where someone posted they'd had breakfast with three of those folks on Monday morning that actually stopped and got breakfast here in Salina.
Yeah, I love it. I think, isn't Dale Hollow Lake, so that's your number one asset recreationally here in Clay County. Don't most of their tourism base come from, like, Indiana, kind of Midwest area? Yeah, so that's, I mean, that makes sense.
We also get a lot of folks coming out of the Standing Stone State Park.
Okay.
We're just 7 miles away, and they can be here in just a couple of minutes and shop and eat.
Yeah, with that new road between here and Livingston, it really helped to bring in those folks, I think.
It's interesting. A lot of those people come out to camp at the campsites over there, but then they come to the restaurants to eat, and we welcome them.
Yes, so Standing Stone has some really great campgrounds. They have recently remodeled cabins, our historic cabins. We spent about $1 million last year to renovate them, to bring them up to code, electrical-wise, but also to just make them, like, really nice and cozy. And so we've been having, like, record visitation at that park. And so when people spend the night, you know, there's no place to eat at Standing Stone. So they're going to have to either bring their food with them or go to Salina, right? And one of our great restaurants you've got here, which I'll be having lunch at today, I'm sure.
The staff over at the state park just do an outstanding job.
Good.
They keep things moving. There's always something happening. Over.
Sean is our marbles guy, and I know that's a really important aspect of the history in Clay County that Standing Stone has latched onto, and they have that National Roly Hole Marble Tournament every year, and so. Sean actually works with youth in the community to help build up the practicing of marbles and teach kids how to do it. And so, it's a really important aspect of their kind of identity as a park.
I know, of course, we've got some plans for that here in the county we're working on with Roly Hole Marble to have some type of tourist attraction here.
Good.
For that. And I want to throw this out to you. We have out at Midway area here, we have a getaway place out there. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. The getaway places, they came in and put, you know, the little cabins on wheels, and basically it's a place to go, and they don't have anything there except water and electricity and a place to sleep. And they have been full forever. And I'm wondering if the state has looked at something like that in some of these parks, like Standing Stone, found a place out. Basically, they just went into the woods, cleared out a spot, ran electricity and water to those spots, and they've been leasing them like crazy. And we've had folks, I know I've talked to folks all the way up to Michigan, all the way down into Florida, wow. New York, that have come in here for 2 days. And when they come into this place, they don't really have any, they're not going to go very far,
yeah.
But they're coming into Salina to our antique stores, our bakery, and things like that. And they're leaving here with a great feeling about this area. But I was wondering if the state parks have looked at anything like those, where you don't really provide anything other than a place to sleep and get a drink of water.
So we don't have anything like that, I don't think, currently in the works. But we've talked about doing these things called yurts, which are kind of what it sounds like, is a fancy tent, like the glamping phase, right? So folks who don't want to sleep in a tent, but want to go and experience kind of the wilderness and being out and have your fire and all that stuff. So, yeah.
They call it the getaway.
Okay.
And a lot of the folks that come, like Thomas said, are from Texas and New York and places.
Oh,
like
they come far.
They just come in here for 2 days.
Yeah. Well, I would hope they could be at our meeting maybe next week, because it sounds like a good model that could be replicated.
One interesting thing that if I understood them right, it's not like a traditional place. You register online, give them your credit card online. You just come by an office there and pick your keys up.
What? You don't go to the office.
Oh, you don't go to the office.
No, the doors are all key-coded, and
okay.
About an hour before you
okay.
get here, they will send you a message with your key code and directions to your cabin. You go there, put the key code in, and you may go there and stay 2 days and not even see anyone in management.
I mean, if you're thinking about labor costs, that would help you work a business like that, right? Yeah. Smart.
The only thing is cleaning the cabins and make sure that, you know, everything
yeah.
is working in order.
Me and Dr. Young got to go out here, I guess, back last summer, and they gave us a tour of it, and it was amazing to see that. Never would have made me thought that some old hillsides out in there that people would go in there. They got their man. They've done a lot, and they've created like a sewer plant.
Yeah.
In other words, like out in there to take care of all that and everything. So it's an experience. I think the sheriff told me an interesting story. He said they don't have many calls out that way, but they did get a call that someone called and said somebody was throwing rocks at them.
Oh my gosh.
So they get out there.
Ernest T.
I think what it was that they had was right underneath a big oak tree. So the acorns were dropping off and getting the thing, and that's what they thought it was and everything. But it's very interesting because a lot of people don't experience that in the Cedar City. They love coming out and just getting to walk outside of a night. I mean, we are so blessed here.
Yeah.
You can walk out of the night on a clear night and look up and you see the stars and stuff. And a lot of folks in those cities and stuff are not getting to do that. And this is an absolute way that they can experience that enjoyment.
So, I mean, especially with the pandemic, outdoor recreation-based tourism has been, like, growing and growing and growing. I have some stats here in front of me. So last year, $9 billion of the state's GDP was in outdoor recreation tourism. So, I mean, that's a lot. 106,000 jobs in Tennessee around that. So, yeah, I mean, it's exactly like you say. Our cities are getting larger, but at the same time, people want to get away from the city and experience the beauty of Tennessee.
At one of our meetings, it was mentioned that Dale Hollow Lake drew more tourists into Tennessee than did Dollywood.
Wow.
And that got my attention.
Well, you know, looking at that figure, Dollywood, you know, we know they have many, many more tourists than we do, but so many of us here in Tennessee frequently go up there.
Yeah.
Which makes
it. Oh,
Dale Hollow is, you know, it's mainly attracting people from out of state.
But what about all the Kentucky side of Dale Hollow, right? We're not even counting those folks. So, and I'm sure they cross the border over in Tennessee when they're staying on the Kentucky side, I would think.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, that
tourists don't recognize borders. That's something good to talk about, to get out in the community. You know, we have these like county rivalries or city rivalries. Maybe a tourist doesn't know the difference. They're just, you said you're 7 miles from Standing Stone. They're going to take a left to go to Standing Stone, or sorry, to Salina, because it's closer and their GPS by 5 minutes, and to go to Livingston, right? They don't realize that by doing that, they're supporting a distressed county, or that, you know, they are, they're even crossing county lines. They
just probably know where you're based at on Dale Hollow Lake, all the way up the lake to Wolf River, wherever, in Pickett, all the other boat docking things. When you spend the week on Dale Hollow Lake, everyone that comes here at least once during that week comes down to see the dam.
Mm.
I mean, that is something that
sure.
That's here.
It's impressive.
Yes, I mean that's something that everyone does.
And I would think the fish hatchery too would be pretty impressive.
Like I said, they may. You know, if they kind of think about it, they may come down and tie off somewhere down there and actually walk across over to the fish
mm-hmm.
hatchery, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a universal lake. And, of course, we like to claim it. We like to claim we're the gateway and all that stuff. But, you know, once we get them in the gate, then what we got to really worry about.
Yeah.
We get them through the gate, and then from there, we need them coming back down toward the gate, coming into Salina, spending their money, and just looking around and looking at the beauty of things other than the lake.
Well, if it wasn't further down, the Dale Hollow Lake wouldn't be there. It'd just be a river.
Yeah.
Right. And you've got two great rivers too, right? I mean, we're right here at the OB and the Cumberland, right?
Yeah. Well, Salina's a very unique town
mm-hmm.
in that on the eastern border of Salina is OB River.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes around the bend. It's also the northern border. Then the western border is Cumberland River. So three sides of our city are rivers.
Surrounded by water.
Are rivers.
We're nearly an island, aren't we?
Yeah, almost. We're a peninsula.
Why weren't you a military fort, right? You would think that would be a good thing for protection.
I always remind people, that's Cumberland River, all right. but it's also Cordell Hull Lake.
Mm.
How many counties do you know of who have two Corps of Engineer lakes in that one county?
I will say, Cordell Hull, you know, so I work the 14-county Upper Cumberland region, and Cordell Hull is kind of like always the third lake on that list, right? You think Dale Hollow, then you think Center Hill, then Cordell Hull. But actually, Cordell Hull has been seeing a lot of growth recently. There's a lot of excitement around this Wildwood Resort that's been opening there. They've been doing gangbusters, I mean, attracting folks from Nashville, not even just out-of-state tourists. You've got this growing base of wealthy tourists in Nashville that are looking for an escape, like
you know,
we said.
We'd love to find somebody who would willing to do a boat trip from Salina to Granville, not just in the summertime, in the fall and spring. Spring flowers are blooming,
mm-hmm.
Fall color, and then all summer. And we could have a home and home situation here.
You know,
folks from Granville could come up here and visit some of our sites, and our folks could go down there and visit theirs.
You know, it has taken a number of years for the Cordell Hull Lake to, like you said, it's now blossoming.
It really is.
Because, you know, as you know, and I know that there's a number of businesses that tried to open and operate there that went bankrupt over this number of years. But now, like you said, with the Wildwood thing down there, with the celebrations going on around Granville,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, that's one of the things, you know, like we said, we get them to those places, but like Dr. Young said, we need to get them to come on up the river to Salina, and from Salina, like I said, go on over to Standing Stone, some of those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so many things, you know, like I said, once we get them in the gate, we need to...
We're looking at some sort of promotion here along that line. We have for tourists Standing Stone State Park, Dale Hollow Lake, Cordell Hull Lake, all this right in a short radius here, and that ought to be very attractive to tourists who are coming in here. They can't stay on the lake all day.
Guess what? We're about to run out of time. Dale, anyone else got anything really important we need to get across?
All I want to say, thank you, Tara, for stopping
sure.
and being with us today. She's been an absolute, and still is an absolute asset for me and my office and everything. I appreciate it very much. Monday will be a legal holiday, so all offices will be closed in the service to Martin Luther King Day.
And I also want to tell Tara that the next time she's up this way, bring a whole big bunch of notes, come in, we'll give you an entire hour to sit here and talk about everything going on with your department
okay.
and how we can become a part of it and how you can help us become a part of it.
Every week this show's on?
Anytime that you're
great.
Here, just give Dr. Young a notice ahead of time on a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, and we'll definitely have you here on the radio show with us. But before we go any farther, I have got to draw a number, and look like number one turned up, Margie Boone. You have won the birthday prize for today.
Well, so, Brandon will get that. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't give it to him.
No.
And I'll remind everyone again that the rebroadcast this evening is going to be from 4:30 to 5:30. So if you want to tune into that, and it takes a few days, but these are posted to the Dale Hollow Horizon newspaper site, and they've got a link there to go to them where you can listen to the shows there at later date. And with that, I guess it's about time that we said, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we see you again, and hopefully we'll see you again here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kick Country. But until then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.